Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell. I will be joined by special guest Brian Pritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News coming up here in just a little bit. I quickly hear a couple of my thoughts on WWE Raw. I certainly wasn't blown away by the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view, and I didn't feel like this was a strong follow-up. I really was hoping for something more than we ended up getting from WWE tonight. It wasn't all bad. I thought they did a decent job with the Reigns situation, although, as somebody pointed out on Twitter, and I don't have it in front of me, but I certainly agree with the sentiment. You know, you go through all the trouble of having Daniel Bryan and Paul Heyman cover up for Roman Reigns. If the guy was ready, would you really have to go through all this trouble? You know, and so there's still certainly some major issues I see with Roman Reigns, but I thought by and large, you know, if you just look at it for what it was, whether it was covering up or not, I thought they did an effective job tonight by having Daniel Bryan speak on his behalf, by having Daniel Bryan endorse him more or less, and ultimately team with him. And then I think at the end of the show, they tried to undo some of the nonsense they did last month by completely ignoring it. When they had one of the broadcast team members had to point out that when Seth Rollins made a blind tag that Randy Orton wasn't happy with, Daniel Bryan did the same to Roman Reigns. And one of the announcers actually said, you don't hear Roman Reigns whining about it. It's like, we just did for the last month. That exact type of thing is what they were doing. But, it was a Raw. It was a long, long edition of Raw, another one of those shows that felt like a marathon. Some of it may have been having the show last night, but one of those episodes that I didn't think was going to end. I will be bringing, I don't see Fritz in the queue just yet, unless I'm missing something here, which I may be. Fritz, actually, I see your number, but you've got to chime in like you want to ask a question, and I can bring you on board. So once you do that, I think it's *1, I believe. And for those of you out there listening, if you want to join us tonight, 773-897-6321. Again, I'm Jason Powell, and we will bring Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com on the show momentarily, and we'll get his take on tonight's WWE Raw, last night's Fastlane, and the Oscars. Fritz, he watched the Oscars last night. He told me who won Best Picture. Beyond that, not a clue, but I think this is him. Let me see if this is Fritzy. I don't recognize the rest of the number. Brian, is this you?
Yeah, I think this is me.
You are crackling, my man. Hopefully it gets a little better. Hopefully it's not another Jim Ross situation. I didn't have good luck with the JR sound quality earlier today. But we'll see what happens.
Sound?
Well,
Does this work a little bit better?
Not so much, man. And people in the chat room, please let me know if it's just something on my end or if you guys are hearing it too. That will definitely help out. And we can try to pinpoint it. And I know Brian has more than one phone left. If worst comes to worst, we'll have him call in on that other one. Let me see what they're saying here. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything yet. Major crackle I just heard. I don't know if you just, I mean, it could be as simple as you try calling back into the show, or if you want to try from another line, up to you, man.
I will call right back.
All right, sounds great.
Okay.
And there he goes. Brian Fritz will be rejoining us here in a moment. In the meantime, I guess now's a great time to tell you about .NET membership. I will keep it brief tonight. With WrestleMania approaching, great time to sign up. I mentioned the Jim Ross interview that I conducted earlier today. Jim was nice enough to stop by for about 72 minutes or so, and we talked about a little bit about Fastlane, a lot about looking ahead to WrestleMania, also the CM Punk and WWE situation. That's the members are getting the first listen to that. It will actually be made available to non-members. So not exactly the greatest sales pitch I'm giving you for .NET membership, but there are also two additional interviews with Jim Ross that have been conducted here. The last one was actually back in January. He's becoming a regular at .NET, and I certainly appreciate it. It's always an honor to have Jim Ross join the show. And today was no exception. Really enjoyed the conversation. Just a little bit of crackling we couldn't figure out. Kind of like what was going on with Fritz, but I think Fritzy sounded much worse. So if you're panicking, going, wow, was that bad? Not that bad, but I definitely enjoyed that conversation. The .NET is the ad-free version of the site. If you sign up for membership, you can correspond with a great group of people in the forum during various shows or anytime you feel like it, and about wrestling topics and otherwise. Also today, I recorded a 40-some-minute Q&A audio show exclusively for the members where I answer their wrestling and non-wrestling questions, and last night did 40-some minutes on WWE Fastlane. Went into great detail on that show as well. Membership rates start as low as $5.50 a month. If you break it down, that's our annual option, though. If you want to try it out for 1 month, see if it's a good fit for you, that's cool, too. $7.50. All the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Look for the sign-up area. You can't miss it. And once you have access to the site, you can get all those perks of membership, both on your website and also via your phone. If you have our free Android or iPhone apps, you can get those perks of membership right there on your phone. So, again, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. And I don't plug my Twitter enough. If you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. All right, let's see this time if we can go back to Brian Fritz. Hopefully he is crackle-free. Fritzy, are you there?
I'm here, and hopefully I'm crackle-free.
Oh, you sound glorious. You sound wonderful, Fritz. It was Raw glorious and wonderful tonight.
Not really. That was the Randy Orton show that we got tonight. You know, I guess fundamentally there was nothing like horribly wrong with it, but at the same time, you're thinking this is the first show officially on the road to WrestleMania. You know, you've done all your other pay-per-views. The next one is WrestleMania 31. And there was nothing that was really sizzling about it. I mean, you continue to set up a couple of little things, but, I mean, the match they probably set the most at WrestleMania was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I mean, there was no Brock Lesnar. Daniel Bryan is getting along now with Roman Reigns. And there was a lot of Randy Orton as he tries to, play it out about what he's going to do with Seth Rollins, which I think we all know how it's going to play out just when the time and day comes that he actually pulls the trigger and decides he's going to go after Rollins rather than acting like he's his buddy.
And I haven't received an update from, I have a correspondent who was at the show tonight. He passed along results of Superstars. I'll have those up either later tonight or first thing tomorrow. I don't think people are dying for Superstars updates, but he has, I'll see if he checks in. He's a regular listener of this show as well, Dotted member Tyler. And he hasn't said anything about Brock Lesnar being there after the fact. I can't imagine you'd fly in Brock Lesnar for a dark segment. The reason we're talking about him is he was advertised locally and on the WWE website. On their live events page, Brock was advertised, and I don't know why we didn't get Brock Lesnar tonight, but we'll try to figure out a little bit more on that. Hopefully that means they have another date with Lesnar arranged. What did you think of the way they handled Reigns overall? Did you come out of this show feeling better about him going into WrestleMania, given that he had Paul Heyman and Daniel Bryan basically propping him up in the verbal segment? I mean, he still did some talking, but just your thoughts overall on Roman Reigns right now.
Yeah, I think they made him look a lot better, and, they're doing everything that they can right now. And that, I think Reigns has been given a little bit more free rein when it comes to him speaking. It doesn't seem like what he is saying is as scripted. They're a little bit more careful about it, and they're not having him use the goofy lines anymore. And, you've got Paul Heyman out there doing a lot of talking with him. That's always going to be strong. Daniel Bryan's become such a good talker as well, and Daniel, saying his glory, singing his praises, all night long too, that helped a lot. So I think that now that we've got a definite main event for WrestleMania, now that we know that it's going to be Reigns against Lesnar, I think that helps a lot too. So people just need to put in the rearview mirror, like, yes, I know you wanted Daniel Bryan, but that's just not going to happen. This is what we are going to do. And the fans are, the WWE is hoping the fans jump on board.
Yeah, I think tonight was Daniel Bryan's over it. You should be too. I think that was right. Kind of what they were. He never said it. His character is disappointed he lost, but he gained respect for Roman Reigns was the story he told. And I thought that was a necessary story that needed to be told. I thought it would have been confusing. It would have been damaging had Bryan still had issues with Roman Reigns. When he made that hot tag, he tagged himself in the blind tag at the end of the match, I was like, oh, no. They're telling me they're not going to develop more friction between these two. I was happy they didn't, even though it did set up that awkward moment that reminded me of the last bad month of storytelling they've done to set that match up at Fastlane. But Reigns and Lesnar, I guess the tough part here, Brian, you're going to WrestleMania. You've been at the last several WrestleManias. You know what that crowd is like. No matter how good of a job they do between now and WrestleMania Sunday, do you believe that WrestleMania crowd is even going to be 50-50?
I think they've got a very difficult job ahead of them, because it's not just that people are going to be down on Roman Reigns, or potentially could be, but that's a very smart crowd, and there's going to be a lot of people that really like Brock Lesnar. Not only because it's Lesnar and because they think he's cool, but because of Paul Heyman's on the side. And, you know, if you don't give them a reason to go nuts for the other guy, then they can easily flip the switch and say, oh, well, that's fine. We don't mind, you know, cheering for Lesnar and Heyman. And I think that's going to be very difficult for the WWE to overcome here in the way that they've done this, because it hasn't been a purely natural progression for Reigns. I mean, he's been getting closer and closer, but there came that point where WWE has said, okay, you're close enough. We're just going to shove you the rest of the way, rather than being one of these things where the fans are just overly accepting of him, and they've kept him away from the other hot babyface being Daniel Bryan. And you factor in all these different things with Bryan coming back and Reigns was sidelined. I think that really, you know, stunted his growth, you know, as a babyface. And then when he comes back, there's Daniel Bryan. Everybody wants Bryan to win at the Rumble. That doesn't happen. That all these different factors, and it's already an uphill battle, because, you know, this is a huge stage for Reigns to main event WrestleMania. You know, this early in his career, I'm not saying that he's going to fail or anything, but it's just, it's a lot of pressure. It's a huge stage for him. And then you add in all these different things about the fan support, where you want the audience right now. It's going to be difficult.
Final question for you before we get to the phone calls. Again, people can join us at 773-897-6321. I'm Jason Powell. He's Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News. Brian, what they did with Randy Orton tonight, I mean, you mentioned the show was kind of built around him. Was it worth it? I mean, they set him up where he's technically back with the Authority, but I don't think anyone expects it to stick. In fact, I thought by the end of the night it was all a setup and he'd be RKOing everyone in sight, and he ended the show, he's still with them, they dragged it out. I mean, I get what they're doing, and I actually kind of, once they went in this direction, I kind of applaud the idea of having a little patience, because I think it'll build to something. But is this whole thing worth it? Were they better off bringing him back just as a straight up babyface right from Jump Street?
I think they would have been better off just bringing him back as a babyface straight out, because we're past all those weeks of you can't have wasted weeks for WrestleMania at this point. I mean, there's only four more Raws, I believe, before Mania. So now you really need to tell the audience what the card is, what the matches are going to be, and, you know, build up to those matches and get everything going at a fever pitch. And the show they did tonight really felt like, oh, we've got plenty of time. We can kind of drag this out, and we can. You're past that point of slow build. I mean, you're now, you know, we're at a point where it needs to be bam, bam, bam. Here's what we got. Here's why they're going to face each other. Here's why you're going to be excited about it, and we're going to bring it at WrestleMania.
I'm with you. Yeah. So even though I can appreciate once they went in that direction tonight, all right, if you want to drag it out another week, you're right. They're running out of time for this, and it just seemed like they had things going in the right direction last night with Rollins running away from Orton. I think that's a match that I don't know that it takes this much work. I think just show the video of what Rollins did and let Randy struggle to get his hands on him. But they're going for the mind game approach that with Randy Orton and Seth Rollins right now. We'll see how that goes. Let's take our first call. It comes from 281 area code. 281, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Good evening, Jason and Brian. This is James calling out of Houston. How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing great, man. What's on your mind?
Pretty much, I was going to ask the question until Brian pretty much said what he said a few seconds ago. I completely echo that sentiment. I remember, you know, back in the day, like after the February pay-per-view, like they would have 2, 3, 4 matches already set up for WrestleMania. And like you said, this is why they're having the match. This is what's going to happen. WrestleMania is happening. And then, boom, you know, the match is happening. My question is, I'm really getting tired of insert 3 to 4 baby faces against Kane, Big Show, and Seth Rollins. It has been happening for the longest time. And just like Raw has become a marathon, like you said. And I was just thinking that, you know, the only reason why I have the WWE Network is for NXT. And also, they have a few other talents that they could utilize more on Raw. So my question is, what do you think, quote-unquote, for a NXT superstar to be ready to the main roster? Like, what does that take for them in order to get on the main roster to be ready for them? Like, creatively, or for them to get their moves down? Like, I still kind of don't completely understand it, because they are in bad need of more depth and talent on that roster. Thanks for taking my call. You guys have a good night.
Hey, my pleasure. Please call again. Brian, you are a semi-regular at Full Sail University. You've been to several of the live specials that we've seen, along with some television tapings. So why don't you take that one?
Well, I think there's a lot of different factors that go into that. I mean, we look at the NXT roster, and I think you can easily say Sami Zayn ready to be called up. Adrian Neville, same thing. You can easily make the argument that Finn Balor is ready to be called up. Kevin Owens has only been there for 2 months. He's probably ready to be called up. But it's not just as easy as, oh, this guy is ready. It's also got to be, you know, you've got to have something creatively for them, you know, on the next level. Where exactly do they fit in? And as much as a lot of us that watch wrestling as closely as we do, enjoy what they're doing right now with those individual talents and with NXT as a whole, you've got to make sure that you weave them into the main roster in a way that that audience is going to buy in. Because just because you're watching Raw does not mean you're watching NXT. And we've seen that, you know, on a couple of different occasions already. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that go into it. And also, too, WWE is now talking about, you know, this is a new brand that we want to tour by the end of the year. So you can't just strip all the talent from NXT at one time. It's not like you can just say, okay, we're going to take 2, 3, 4 guys, you know, and just throw them up on the main roster. I mean, that's just not going to happen right now. And as far as bringing somebody up, I think we're going to see 1 or 2 call-ups, probably the Raw after WrestleMania. There's no point in doing it right now because you've got Mania coming up, you know, in, you know, less than 5 weeks now. But there's just a lot of different factors that go into it. But I think people get really excited about seeing the talent there and what those guys are doing and just kind of imagining, okay, I'm kind of tired of this guy. I'm tired of that guy. So why don't they bring in, you know, some fresh faces? And I agree with that. I mean, there's only so much you can do at this point for Big Show and Kane. I think it's just one of those cases where they've been around for so long and people are just tired of them. You know, they've had great careers, but at some point you've got to freshen up your product, and that's what NXT is for.
I agree with what you said there, and I'll also say when it comes to the Big Shows and Canes of the world, there's some guys on the active roster that are just sitting there doing nothing, and the one that comes to my mind is Luke Harper. If you had taken, and it just, I mean, get rid of the obvious Big Show turn again, you know, the 20-something turn, Kane with the Authority, and had they gone back at the time when they were reforming this thing and put a, you know, fresh coat of paint on it by putting a Luke Harper in that mix, I think I would have enjoyed the build to Fastlane a lot more. Granted, we got one match with Luke Harper on SmackDown this week where he was facing Reigns or Bryan. But, yeah, I mean, think of all those matches we got. Reigns and Bryan against some form of Big Show and Kane, and it was tiresome. I look forward to the call-ups, but I hope it's more Shield-like, Wyatt family-like than it is Emma, Adam Rose. You know, I mean, the list goes on The recent call-ups have just been disappointing. They did something with Paige initially, and now they seem like they've lost her way. I don't know what the hell that Divas match was all about tonight. I'll sit on that, though, because there's a chance that our next caller, he's on the double-secret probation list. He is usually in the two-hole. He is the one and only .NET member Rabbit. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, Jason. How are you doing tonight?
So far, so good.
I have
a
question
mind,
for
Rabbit?
You and Brian.
Go for it.
Okay. Here it is. The Sheepers are in the Hall of Fame. Are you happy about that?
Brian, I mean, I'll let you start. I do have a little bit to say about this.
I thought it was a curious choice, and I know it's a WWE Hall of Fame, but that's not exactly the first or second or third tag team that necessarily comes to mind when you think about tag teams going into the WWE Hall of Fame. I know there's other ones I can think of that didn't really work there or work there very little, but I didn't see this one coming, and even that promotional video that they showed tonight talking about them going in was more about, hey, these guys were fun-loving, and you kind of laughed at them a little bit, so let's put them in the Hall of Fame. And that might be their criteria for a Hall of Fame, and that's fine, but when I think of Hall of Fame, I'm trying to think of the best, people that stood out for because they were very, very good as well, and Bushwhackers just don't do it for me.
Sheepherders, yeah, you know, I like some of the Sheepherders stuff. Bushwhackers, I mean, it was just an undercard comedy thing, and it worked. You know, people were into that back in the day at some level. It was a crowd-pleasing act. Yeah, I mean, I hate always being the guy that goes, well, if this person's not in, because I get so frustrated when, I mean, that's just anyone who gets inducted, someone can find someone more deserving. But in this case, yeah, I was never even a Demolition guy. I was a Road Warriors guy. I saw those guys as ripoffs, but they were very good at what they did. I'd have them in. I'd have the British Bulldogs in. I'd have, obviously, the Midnight Express, and I can come up with a lot of tag teams. It's starting to feel like, that you get in now if there's like they can swing some sort of a deal with TMZ, so TMZ can report it first, and now this New Zealand big magazine over there got to report it first. And I kind of miss the days when we didn't know who the Hall of Famer was going to be. I mean, once in a while there'd be a leak, but now they're leaking it intentionally before the show. I mean, even Randy Savage, that wasn't a surprise on Raw. That was framed as WWE expected to announce Randy Savage. Well, you know they're going to. I mean, they're like giving credit to TMZ for breaking the story that they obviously gave them. It's just like, oh man, I don't like what they're doing with this. I'm not blown away by this class. Nothing again. I mean, it's great Randy Savage is finally going in, no doubt about that. But I'm underwhelmed right now by this class, Rabbit. Did you have more for us?
Yeah, because I saw them in San Francisco as a heel team, and when I saw them, the Sheepherders were a good heel team. And what we saw in WWE was a comedy act, big difference.
Yeah,
there was a huge
difference.
Absolutely.
I remember watching them feud with the Fantastics in Texas,
right.
And they had awesome matches between the two. I mean, even when they moved over to more nationally NWA. So, but you know, once it became WWE, like you said, Jason, they were just an undercard comedy team. That's the way they wanted to utilize them. Maybe I'm a little biased because one time they grabbed me and licked me. I don't know.
You were licked by which one? Both?
I don't know. I just remember I turned my head, and next thing you know, I didn't realize they're that close, and they grabbed me, and I got licked. And I was like, oh, geez.
I'd want to know. If a man, like, forced himself on me and licked me, I'd want to know which man it was. That's just me, though.
I didn't see it coming. I should have been better prepared.
Is that the only time a man has, like, forced himself on you and licked you?
Other than you, yes.
He did spend a couple of he did take a couple trips up here, so I won't tell if you don't. Rabbit, anything else tonight?
Yeah, before I hang up, I had one more thing, and that was next year it's going to be in Dallas for WrestleMania. So how about one of the greatest tag teams of all time in the Hall? How about bringing back the great team from Dallas, Michael Hayes and the Freebirds.
Well, yeah, absolutely, Rabbit. I mean, that's something we've talked about on a regular basis. It makes sense. It's in Texas. You have Kevin Von Erich, presumably, even though I think he's Hawaii-based these days. I think it totally makes sense to get the Freebirds in the Hall of Fame while WWE's in Texas. I talked a little bit about that with Jim Ross today, just the whole loaded Texas class. I know he would love to see Danny Hodge get in. He's an Oklahoma guy. But Stan Hansen, I mean, there's just a long list of, and Bruiser Brody he mentioned, long list of potential guys with Texas roots, and Undertaker. I mean, we're at that point, Brian, where I think we have to start wondering when Undertaker is going in. And, you know, as we saw with Ric Flair, it doesn't have to necessarily be, well, he has to retire first. It might be the same weekend.
It could be. It just depends. I mean, we don't know if this is going to be his last match at this WrestleMania, or is he going to be able to do one more next year? And even if he does one more, does that mean he goes in the same year, or does he do the match and then go in the following year or the year after that? Because you can put in Taker anywhere at any time.
Up next is 305. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ. What's up?
I got a couple of things. The first thing is that now I know to play the drinking game, Michael Cole. I mean, I don't know how many guys counted, but it was too many of, you know, how many more days? 36 or something? I don't know.
34.
But,
Yeah, so, see, now you do that, and if they hear this, they're going to think, oh, see, we didn't do it enough. He doesn't even remember how many days until WrestleMania.
My thing was the bear thing. I'm very confused. Ziggler, I thought, like, for sure he was going to dust Ziggler off pretty fast, and Ziggler came off with the win, and R-Truth never jumped in, and Ambrose came out real fast, and I'm confused. Do you think it's going to be Ziggler and Ambrose? And I got one more thing.
Yeah, Brian, I came away looking at it as a potential triple threat, just the way that Ambrose kind of had that moment where he stared at Ziggler. Truth, I'm guessing, is something Barrett just takes care of on television. It just seemed odd that he was even out there. I know he got a win over him on SmackDown, but so did Sin Cara, and no one was putting him on color commentary on Raw.
Right. I think a four-way would be a bit overkill. So nothing against Truth, but that seems a little bit beneath WrestleMania, and I tend to think that it's going to be a three-way.
Yeah, let Truth go to Access. That's great. Put him in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I don't want to see R-Truth working any type of match where, other than a Battle Royal, a get everyone on the show match at Mania. It's just that ship has sailed. But so I don't. And Barrett was holding his neck, Brian. That was. Did I miss anything where he would have been selling it? I mean, he had that awkward powerbomb attempt where it looked like he pulled back too far and he nearly dropped Ziggler. He recovered okay, but I mean, it was noticeable enough. The broadcast team had to point out the flub, but then he like was reaching back and holding his neck the rest of the match. Did I miss anything during the match where he may have been selling something that happened?
Not that I saw. I was wondering the same thing because I didn't see him really get hit there, and I was wondering what exactly happened. So hopefully it's nothing serious, because the unfortunate thing for him is just the injury bug that he has fought, and it seems like, you know, a lot of times it happens right before WrestleMania for him too.
Yeah, I've been there when he was hurt. He broke the arm when I was there in attendance. Have you seen, DJ from Miami, have you been there to see Bad News Barrett get hurt?
Only WrestleMania, I remember.
Okay. You said you had one more for us.
Yeah, I got a quick comment before that, real quick, before my question. I thought Daniel Bryan's thing was that he was a little, like, sarcastic, and I have a feeling there's too many faces through. I have a feeling he's going to turn heel. But my question is about the going into the Hall of Fame. Somebody's paying somebody off because the Bushwhackers, come on, guys. Of all things, I mean, Demolition, the Killer Bees, you know, the Bulldogs, like you said, come on, there's just tons and tons. But of all people, I don't get it. Why them now? And, you know, I mean, they could put them at any time.
Well, again, they do have the, thanks for your call, they do have the long careers, the sheep herders. It's not just WWE. I don't know that WWE is really taking that into account. It's just, I think they look at it as kind of a fun-loving act, and apparently they got some publicity in New Zealand that they were all excited about today. But Brian, the Killer Bees, now I grew up watching the AWA, and I could make a strong case for the High Flyers, but I was not a big fan of the Killer Bees.
What about Strikeforce? Can't we put them in before the Bushwhackers?
I would put them in before the Killer Bees, that's for sure. I was a Can-Am Connection guy, but that was another Minnesota thing with Tom Zink, which spawned the Strikeforce tag team. And Strikeforce was never nearly as good.
Yeah, I don't know if WWE wants to put in Tom Zink anytime soon.
No, I don't think that will be happening. And when I say better, just like that act was over. Can-Am Connection was really starting to click when he went haywire and just ended up leaving WWE and then became the Z-Man.
By the way, who's going to induct him? Is that going to be Laurinaitis?
Yeah, he might. Yeah, what was his
gimmick? Would he be waving the flag?
Yeah, he was the flag bearer.
Oh, it'd be great.
And it was Johnny Ace at the time, right?
Yeah.
Johnny Ace, the flag bearer.
Johnny Ace, the big blonde mullet, and waving the flag.
Dynamic Dudes or the Killer Bees? Who goes to Hall of Fame first?
Oh, man. Who doesn't want to see the Dudes, because they'd have to come on the skateboards, man? That would just be the better thing to watch.
I'm all for Big Johnny giving an acceptance speech for anything. I don't know that he's deserving,
Hi.
But I certainly would
so
enjoy the acceptance.
To be here tonight and give you my speech saying I'm proud to go into the Hall of Fame.
Could we just send, like, have Super Dave Osborne give the induction speech, like, the presentation, and see if anyone notices the difference between the two, if they just do the voice?
Well, if you mention Spunkhauser, yeah.
There you go. Up next is, let's see here, I don't think I've taken this number, 678, who are you, where are you calling from? 678.
Hey, Jason, this is R&D calling from A-Town.
What's up, man?
Now, seeing everything that happened on Raw, now, this Randy Orton situation, right now, everybody was waiting for Orton to come back. But right now, I think Randy Orton's trying to take his time for him to be, you know, come at the right time to snap and turn on the authority.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, all signs point to that still being the case. I don't think he's really back with the authority long-term, do you?
No, I mean, I don't even know if they're going to reveal it next week. It could be the week after that to where, you know, finally he'll just, you know, flip the switch and he'll go after Rollins. He'll RKO him, and then that'll set up the match for Mania.
And then the only question I have here, and Ron, I'll let you answer this, if Orton wants to get his hands on Rollins at WrestleMania, if that's the end game, why would the authority sign off on that?
That I don't even know. But if
we'll see. Maybe they'll fill it in.
Mm-hmm. But if Seth Rollins trying to take his chance on trying to cash it in, I think Orton might try to take that chance and try to crush his moment in a snap. Automatically crushing his chance of becoming world champion, just destroying his own type of future WWE person knowing and everything.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for the call. He had his chance. He had the Money in the Bank briefcase in hand at Fastlane, and he threw it because Seth Rollins was running. I actually thought about that when they were showing the replay tonight. I'm like, you know, if he really wanted to mess with them, couldn't he just take the Money in the Bank briefcase and not give it back? But I guess when the authority's in charge, they could just say, hey, Randy, you have to give it back. Brian, you, in addition to working for Sporting News, which you can certainly talk about, you run the very popular BetweenTheRopes.com website, and I know, like me, you spoke with a certain WWE Hall of Famer today. Why don't you tell people about that and your website?
Sure. People can go to BetweenTheRopes.com, and you can check out all the different podcasts there. I did speak with Jim Ross earlier today. How dare you bogart that interview for me? No, I'm kidding. We just happened to have it planned on the same day. So Jim Ross is up there. I also had a recent podcast with Shawn Michaels. And I am going to WrestleMania, so there'll be plenty of guests leading up to WrestleMania. And then once I'm out there as well, I'll be getting a variety of interviews with WWE superstars, and everybody can check it out on the website. And if I'm lucky, I think our annual tradition will continue where on the morning of WrestleMania, I'll be back here on your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian joins me for .NET Members Audio WrestleMania Sunday morning. He goes to the Hall of Fame, and then we get together for about a half hour and discuss the events of the Hall of Fame, look ahead to WrestleMania. I was thinking about it. This year might be a little more difficult for you. If you can swing it, awesome, we'll do it. But the reason I say that is with the time out there. I don't know if you're going to be able to make it work the more I thought about it.
Oh, we'll make it work somehow. That's, you know, it's a working trip. It doesn't mean you got to sleep much. Just doesn't mean you always have to be wide awake. But as long as you're somewhat awake, it's good enough for a trip like this.
We've done many audio sponsored by coffee and or Red Bull. So maybe this year should be no exception.
Absolutely.
And by the way, you just had another WWE Hall of Famer. I don't think you mentioned him. The Heartbreak Kid was a recent guest at Between the Ropes.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels came on. I am Sasha Banks' official good luck charm. I had her on right before TakeOver, and what happened there? She went on to win the Women's Championship. So, you know, whenever I get an opportunity to speak with some NXT people, I always try to jump at that. And then obviously with anybody else, especially with in WWE. So everybody can go to BetweenTheRopes.com, and you can listen to the podcast with them there.
Very cool. BetweenTheRopes.com, and also check out his work at SportingNews.com. They have a wrestling section. You kind of have to dig around for it, though, don't you, Brian?
Yeah, you do. You can just, if you want, just type in my name.
Just search for Fritzy. It should pop right
yep.
up. All right. Let's keep rolling through these phone calls. Up next is 773. Who are you and where are you calling from tonight?
This is Boris from Chicago.
Boris, what's up?
Oh, man. I tell you one thing. This product doesn't make me want to spend money on it. I mean, because my thoughts is when you force, I know they're telling this guy to endorse him. We heard through the leaks, you know, throughout this whole process, they're telling him to get this guy over. You know what I'm saying? How heartbreaking is that? This guy has no talent. We watching him in his match get protected beyond protection. You know what I'm saying? He tagged. He wasn't in the match, what, 60 about a minute and tagged out? I mean, because he doesn't have nothing. And you see all these guys wrestling around him, and it's just really bad. So my question is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. My question is, us fans, Daniel Bryan fans, not the IWCs or whatever you want to call it, and all this. Us as fans of Daniel Bryan, of the Bryan Danielson, what are we supposed to do when every time a shiny big guy, their next shiny big guy, you know, all the talented wrestlers get pushed out. What are us as fans supposed to do when we back this guy harder than anything and basically they already ridden this guy in, no matter what? What are we supposed to do as fans?
Cool, man. I mean, Brian, I just say, one, Roman Reigns does have talent. I'll get to that in a second. It's there's certainly some positives to Roman Reigns, but not as many as I see with Daniel Bryan. I'm not going to dispute that by any means. But, I mean, I guess you just be happy you got what you did last year and hope they get back to Daniel Bryan. I mean, the caller earlier touched on it. Do you think Daniel Bryan is turning heel after what you've seen here over the last 24 hours?
I don't think so, and I think that would be a big mistake if they went that route, just because he is so over with the fans. Plus, if they're going to put him in there with Sheamus, I just don't see Sheamus coming back as a babyface. Or
no.
Maybe he comes back as a baby and quickly turns, just because there's a lot more potential in him as a heel and Daniel Bryan standing as a babyface than vice versa. As for Daniel Bryan, I mean, he's still in a – overall, he's still in a very good position. And we know how these things go, where all it takes is a small period of time where somebody's not getting the reaction that the company believes they should be, and another guy is. And if there's also an injury that gets played in there, next thing you know, positions change very quickly, or can. And you could see Daniel Bryan right back there in the title mix. He's still going to be in a really good position. He's still going to be at the top of the card. Whether or not he's really going to be kind of that quote-unquote the guy, that remains to be seen, and that's going to be tough. But I don't think it's the last time we're ever going to see him being the world champion.
That was a question I asked Jim Ross today. He doesn't think it is either. And I don't, you know, I'm skeptical that they're going to give him the full he's the guy push. Does he get a kind of transitional or, you know, just kind of a short-term run? Maybe, you know, it kind of looks a little bleak right now. But like you say, he's still a top guy. He was still the guy that was coming out last tonight. He came out after Reigns for whatever that's worth. And certainly being featured prominently, the crowd much more receptive to Daniel Bryan than Roman Reigns right now. And, I mean, he does have so many things going for him. But the comment about Reigns not having any talent, no one was saying that when this guy was with the Shield. You know, he was – because he was protected there too. And, you know, it goes back to what I mentioned early in the show. I'm a big believer in, you know, accentuate the positives and hide the negatives, which was a big Paul Heyman approach in ECW. And they're doing that with Reigns. But I just don't know that it's worth it when you had the obvious of Daniel Bryan sitting right there in front of you to go to these measures for Vince McMahon. I mean, just this guy – Roman Reigns has just caught Vince's eye. He sees money in him. Only time will tell whether Vince is right about this, but I think the push was premature. I think they cut off Daniel Bryan and his wrestle or his world title aspirations prematurely as well. But there's obviously positives about Roman Reigns. Maybe it's not the promo ability, but he's got something going for him. He's appealing to some of the audience, and I think they've done damage to him. As soon as word got out he was the guy, that's when people started kind of put him under the microscope and start to point out all those flaws that when he was with the Shield, people were pretty quiet about. They just enjoyed the Shield. They thought it was a cool act, and he was a big part of that. He was the cool guy who always had the cool line at the end, and he had a couple of cool moves that he worked in. Then once you get him singles, he's a little more exposed. And yeah, I don't know, Brian. I just really do feel like it, as much as I'm a big believer in accentuate the positives and hide the negatives, I do feel like they're really reaching here because they find negatives in a guy like Daniel Bryan. You know, the look isn't right, or he's not as good of a promo as we'd like. Why can't they accentuate the positives with a guy like him and try to hide some of the negatives? Why is it always these muscle-bound guys?
Well, I know they were looking for kind of the next guy because, I mean, while John Cena is still immensely popular, you know, they're trying to look ahead and say, okay, what's the next plan? But at the same time, you've got Daniel Bryan, and I know he doesn't have, you know, that typical look that you have of a top guy. And I think there's also some concerns about his health because he did have the neck injury, and they were extremely concerned about that. I mean, there was people in the company that thought once he got that injury, they were definitely afraid that he was going to have to retire. That's how serious that injury was. And we saw how long it took him before he was able to come back because he just finally found the right doctor. But until then, nobody knew exactly how to fix him. But the guy has been so hot and the guy has been so over that, you know what, there's no reason to try to, you know, push the button so quickly on Roman Reigns because he is very young in his career. I mean, the guy's been in wrestling for 5 years. I will always point this out. He's been in wrestling for like 5 years now, and all of it has been with WWE. And he's come very far, but it's not like this guy trained someplace else. He worked the indies someplace else. He's been under the WWE umbrella the entire time. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a great look, and he's still progressing. He should be, you know, one of their main players. But to say he's the guy right now, I just don't think you need to do that when you've got somebody like Daniel Bryan right there that's as over as he is right now. And I think there would be nothing wrong in saying, okay, let Daniel be that guy for at least another year. And during that time, Roman continue his progression. So that way when he does, you know, get slipped into that top spot, he can stay there. We're not worried about the crowd turning on him. He, you know, has earned it because from getting over with the crowd during this time to where they really accept him. And it's not like they didn't have anybody else in that position. I mean, they had Daniel Bryan sitting right there. And, you know, Daniel's already, what, in his mid-30s? So even if he's there for a year, you know, even 2 years, that's fine. And Roman's still going to be around. He's going to be right there. He's still going to be in a very good position. And then when the time comes, you can easily pull the trigger.
I feel like sometimes Vince McMahon looks, he's not content having a WWE star. He wants that larger-than-life crossover star, what he sees in John Cena, what he saw in The Rock, Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, and I don't think he sees that in Daniel Bryan. I think he'd be blind not to recognize that this guy's very popular with his fan base, but I think when he looks at Reigns, that's what he sees, is the potential for that to happen. But I also feel like he's doing damage. He's done damage to Daniel Bryan to some extent during all of this as well. I just think had Bryan won the Rumble and was on the road to face Brock Lesnar right now, people would be a lot more excited about this WrestleMania. But
I almost wonder if they look at it like saying, if I've got to have my top guy be on an outlet like, say, the Today Show, who do I want there that is going that people would be like, oh, look at how cool that dude looks, because he represents my company for everything they want. He looks like a wrestler, big, strong, good-looking guy, you know, whatever. Does Daniel Bryan fit that? Or does Roman Reigns fit that?
You know, and that's where I think he's short-sighted, is, okay, your first answer would normally be, well, you know, if you just pick the two, if you don't watch wrestling, you look at those two, naturally you're going to say Roman Reigns.
Sure.
But I think you have to go deeper. I really do. I mean, too. Brian has that very likable personality. We see him doing some of these appearances, even just a smaller news station appearance. He's very likable. He makes an instant connection with the hosts and therefore the audience as well. But I think with Vince, so much of it is just that, you know, not to use their term, but that superstar appeal. Can the guy cross over? And that's what I really believe he sees in Reigns. But by going so early with it, I mean, he runs the risk that he's damaging a guy who could be that for him someday. And, you know, I don't know that's going to completely derail him permanently, but I just think, had he waited 1 year, you know, that's what everybody was calling for, and it's not a case of giving the fans what they want right now. It's a case of him giving the fans what he wants them to want, and that's where the trouble comes in. Let's keep working our way through the calls here. If you want to join us tonight, the number is 773-897-6321. This is ProWrestling.net Live. If you are listening on iTunes or elsewhere and you're like, hey, I'm not listening live, how do I do that? Monday nights, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDotNet. I also want to tell you guys I will be on the PW Torch livecast on Tuesday, as I am every Tuesday, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. Much like this show, your calls are welcome. Wade Keller will be hosting that show at PW Torch livecast. Up next is 773. Who are you and where are you calling from? Or no, you know what? We just talked to 773. Get out of here, Boris. Go on. Shoo. Up next is 708. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
708. Who's this?
Before you ask, I'm just here to look at mine.
I didn't catch that, Brian. Did you?
I did not.
708, I tell you what, if you want to, I wasn't sure what the hell you were saying. I just couldn't make it out. If you want to, like, hang up and call back in, then I know you want to be on the show. If you just want to listen, that's fine, too. But we've got a lot of calls to get through. Up now is 602. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Marco calling over from Arizona. How's it going?
Hey, doing great. What's going on?
Good thing I wanted to go over about here. One was, you know, with how everything is now at this point, and with all the recent reports that came out about Brian really not being cleared until after he actually made the announcement, wouldn't this road to WrestleMania been a lot easier if they just held him off the Royal Rumble announcement, not even have him show up to the Royal Rumble? Their way, nobody would have been disappointed. Roman Reigns might have gotten a better reaction. And then you bring in Brian to start a program in Fastlane, or even before that, to lead him to WrestleMania. Nobody's jilted. Or even make it a number one contendership program for Brian to face whoever's going to win, Brock Reigns. Don't you think that would have been an easier path, especially since he wasn't medically clear until really the day of that announcement?
Yeah, I don't know about you, Brian. I mean, we've talked a lot about that on this show, that absolutely, that they made the wrong call there in bringing back Daniel Bryan for the Rumble. If he wasn't going to win it, why not wait a couple of weeks and bring him back after?
Yeah, and you know what? I think that one of the things they could do right now that they really need to do is they need to get Roman Reigns away from Daniel Bryan. I mean, you've already announced what the main event for WrestleMania is going to do. Don't keep throwing it in people's faces that are upset about that and just say, this is the way it's going to be, and then get Bryan and Reigns away from each other.
602, did you have more for us?
Yeah, the last thing really, you know, how everything is shaping up. I want to take time to thank you guys. Really, reading the reports you guys do, even the reviews of Raw as they're going on, helps me out. I work Monday, so I don't get to see the show. It keeps me informed. So thank you for all the hard work you guys do. And lastly, you know, do you think now you save Seth Rollins' cash in as a way to save face at the end of WrestleMania if they don't get the reaction, if Brock is leaving, if Roman is going to be the guy, and they get the boos? Do you think you pull the card, you have Rollins come in, cash in, at least try to save face for WrestleMania?
Great question. Thank you so much for the call, Brian. What about this? We still have, you know, all this time later. He doesn't have to cash in at WrestleMania. I think most people figured that out. There was some confusion last year. He has until Money in the Bank. But with that sitting there, I mean, that certainly presents the opportunity for them to go with Seth Rollins either at WrestleMania-ish, even the next night, or, okay, this Reigns thing isn't working, if that's a direction they go in, and you do it, you know, they might not have it planned right now, but, I mean, they always could play that card.
Yeah, and it's one of these years they're going to do it at WrestleMania, I think. Whether or not this is the year remains to be seen. I mean, we can sit here and we can make a good argument either way, saying, you know what, if we think the show is kind of flat, you know, the way we look at it from right now, you know, how exciting would it be is at the end of the night that Seth Rollins cashed in and became the world champion. But you can also make the argument of saying, well, if they really believe that this is going to be the signature moment for Roman Reigns to win at WrestleMania by beating Brock Lesnar, the man who ended the Undertaker streak, then you definitely did not want to do that with Rollins and have him, you know, quote-unquote ruin Reigns' night. So I think you can make an argument either way. Or you could do it the following night on Raw, which is typically one of the hottest Raws of the year as well, if they're going to have him cash in. I definitely think that if he doesn't do it at WrestleMania, he at least needs to tease it the following night on Raw, because that's something we haven't seen a lot of lately, is we see him going around with the case, but he hasn't been teasing it a lot.
I really hope that if you're going to do it at Mania, then I definitely have him cash in before Reigns can win it. I don't want to see Reigns win that title for the first time and have it taken away from him seconds later and then have him go back on the hunt. There's just something special about that first time. A big believer in that. I don't know that they are. But, you know, I think it is something to keep a close eye on. You know, they may have had this plan. They may also be looking at it as well if Roman doesn't do so well going into Mania, and we, you know, that's always a possibility. So it's cool they've kept it alive. I guess if you're a Seth Rollins fan, Brian, your big fear is that Reigns clicks. He wins the title, he clicks, and then Seth Rollins cashes in unsuccessfully at some point, I would assume.
Right, and here's another thing, too, that the second that Rollins cashes in and say he wins the belt, there's going to be a huge... I think there's going to be a lot of fans that are going to say, well, damn, how about now we finally get Seth Rollins' Daniel Bryan feud? And, okay, that might not be the same place that the company looks. So, oh, we're going to be upset again because we're not getting Daniel Bryan against Rollins. Oh, and they might continue to have Roman in there. Maybe it's, you know, more with Orton, or, you know, maybe it's somebody else that I'm not even thinking of right now. But, you know, there's going to be this Daniel Bryan thing that kind of lingers over some stuff for a while now. I think it's going to be very interesting to see exactly how he is utilized at WrestleMania, because, I mean, he's admitted it now that the original plan before CM Punk walked down the company last year was it was going to be Daniel Bryan against Sheamus, and it was going to be a middle-of-the-card match, and the belief was that Sheamus was going to win that match. So what exactly do they do this year? Is that the plan?
If he's coming back as a heel and they really have plans for Sheamus, then as much as this is going to piss off the Daniel Bryan fans, yes. You know, Sheamus should go over in that match, is my belief. I mean, there might be a way to do it where it plays into something else, but I'm not going to be as outraged as I think the Mania fans will be if that's the direction they go in, because I think they're, you know, it's not that it would be awkward to set up the program by having the babyface go over strong in the first match of a program. So I'm not, you know, if that happens, I mean, my guard is going to be up for Daniel Bryan losing. But, you know, I guess going back to the caller earlier, and somebody in Q&A brought it up too, that they wanted, the caller in Q&A wants to see Daniel Bryan turn. I don't. I fear that if that could be the mindset. I don't think it is, but I fear that. I'm sure it's crossed Vince's mind that, okay, you know, I need to, because of what you're saying, Brian, where he's going to kind of cloud over everything. Well, if he turns him heel, maybe he's not clouding over everything anymore. And I sure hope not, because I feel like they'd be turning him for the wrong reason, not because they've got some great thing in mind for Daniel Bryan, but because Vince McMahon wants him out of the way. He doesn't want the yes chance anymore. And, I mean, we've seen how good of a heel Daniel Bryan can be, but I just think there's still money in Daniel Bryan as a babyface, and so I hope they leave it alone. I hope they show some discipline there. Up next, it looks like it's 352. Who are you? Where are you calling from tonight?
Steve from Florida.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
A question I wanted to bring up. How about you honor the streak and you keep Lesnar strong and he goes over at WrestleMania and you keep him champion if he signs, obviously, until WrestleMania 32? Any thoughts on that?
Brian, I mean, that's what I've been saying. If Brock Lesnar stays, I think Brock Lesnar should remain the champion.
Well, that would be a very interesting thing, and it's something that's definitely possible. Who knows? Maybe maybe there is a way we can save face where Lesnar somehow cheats to win, and next thing you know, Seth Rollins hits the ring, and he cashes in Money in the Bank on Lesnar. I mean, there's a lot of different ways they could go. Heck, if you really wanted to, you could, I mean, they could have this match between Reigns and Lesnar, and they can turn Reigns heel during the match and put Heyman with them.
That's definitely a possibility as well. The reason I'm big on it, it's what he said. It's not so much honoring the streak as much as you invested the streak in this guy. And, you know, I mean, it's tough. I would want to get one more pay-per-view match a year out of Brock Lesnar. I mean, just looking, I'd love to have the guy around all the time, but looking at it realistically, I'd want them to have him there for a minimum of 5 shows if he's going to be a long-term champion. And then I think you can even look ahead to next year. The working plan going into the following year could actually be Roman Reigns beats Brock there. You know, you can work toward that. I would be a little more open to changing my mind than Vince McMahon was this year. But, you know, you could tell a story where Brock ends up beating Roman Reigns this year, and with the idea that next year Roman Reigns is going to try to avenge that loss, and maybe he does there. So, Steve, yeah, I mean, I would be totally open to Brock remaining champion because I think he really is a phenomenal draw for them when he's positioned as strongly as he was at the Royal Rumble.
And the second question I have is, I tend to agree with you, Jason, about the WrestleMania crowd turning on Roman Reigns and by default turning Brock face in the match. Brock has always been, in my eyes, better as a heel. Do you see any way that he'd have a successful face run, if possible?
All right, thanks for the call, Steve. Brian, I do. You know, I think that I want him to remain a heel. I just don't think there's a better monster, badass heel, whatever you want to call it, in wrestling than Brock Lesnar, and there hasn't been for some time. But if they want to turn the page and, you know, just kind of shake things up, yeah, I think he can still be very successful for them. I don't know that he can be as successful over the long haul, you know, even like the if he works four pay-per-view matches. I just kind of fear that it would draw well once, maybe twice, but I just think he's better as a dominant heel.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, when you look at Lesnar, that's what you immediately think is this guy. He's a heel. I mean, he's a bully, and you could flip the switch on him a little bit, but I would definitely do that once it was past the point of no return when it comes to the crowd, forced their hand, or it was right before he was going to wrap up there. And I'm not even saying like, oh, he's going to leave right now because he's going to go to MMA. I wouldn't do it then. I would do it once he comes back from MMA, because even if he does leave now, I think there's a common belief that, okay, he's going to go fight. He'll fight however many times, and then he'll come back. And then once he comes back, I'm not saying immediately, but after a while, you could definitely turn him babyface for one match, maybe two matches at the most, but it would have to be at the end.
You have a built-in storyline. If Heyman were to screw him over at this year's WrestleMania and end up with Roman Reigns, or Seth Rollins for that matter, either guy, whenever Brock comes back, well, there's your ready-made story, you know, that he just comes back as a babyface after his UFC run looking for that revenge. And, I mean, I don't know. Am I being naive to think that if he were to leave WWE at the end of this contract, he might even be back in time for the next WrestleMania?
Oh, I don't think he would be, because all it would take is one bad loss, and maybe he wants to come back, or two losses. Who's not to say he goes over, you know, he fights and say he lost 2 times in a row. And then he just said, you know what, I'm going to go back and I can get a big payday for doing WrestleMania, and I can go back and wrestle for a couple of years. I don't like getting punched in the face anymore. And you know what, I thought I could transition back. I'm healthy now, and, you know, I could be successful, but it doesn't go his way.
That's going to be very interesting if he does leave and come back, because at that point, you know, if it's, hey, the guy lost a couple of times in UFC, or I guess Bellator, but I would say most likely UFC, the leverage is gone, you know, and does WWE try to lowball him a little bit? Because I do believe that as much as Brock Lesnar is a businessman, he's pretty content going and sitting up in a tree for a while and deer hunting and doing his farming and all of that. I still think he could play hardball, and I guess it just would depend on how much Vince wants to invest in him at that point. But we'll see. I mean, we're coming up on the end here for Brock Lesnar. A little over a month away is when his contract is expected to expire, and so we'll obviously have a better feel for that. Hopefully, we don't know until after WrestleMania. I don't know about you, Brian, but that's what I'm hoping. I mean, it's my job to try to find out, but a big part of me just hopes we don't know, so there's that mystery surrounding the match.
Right, you know, I mean, that's one of the great things is there's so many different question marks that go into it, and we just got to see what exactly is happening. But I like the intrigue of not knowing exactly where Lesnar's going to show up and trying to figure that out and see where it all plays out.
Up next is 630. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? It's Craig from Chicago.
Hey, man, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. You know, last night, I basically saw Daniel Bryan carry that lug through 20 minutes of a passable match. I mean, nah, don't get me wrong. I like Roman Reigns, but like I said many times before, he's not ready. And basically, I think I said it last week too, what you saw last night was Bret Hart versus Tom McGee 30 years later. I mean, Bryan carried him. Roman Reigns looked like a statue in that ring last night. And basically, I think I'm very comfortable right now saying after that match that I believe that Daniel Bryan is probably the absolute best wrestler in the business today. It's a shame he's not in that main event at WrestleMania. I think him and Brock Lesnar would be a far superior main event than Roman Reigns and Lesnar. I'm not looking forward to that match at all. I could care less about it. It is what it is. It's set in stone. You know, I just don't know what else Daniel Bryan has to do other than, you know, short of someone injuring themselves to get in that main event at WrestleMania again.
Hey Bryan, put aside what we do. And because, I mean, I can look at it going, I'm intrigued to see, you know, just by the build. How do they do? How do they, you know, do they manage to get Roman Reigns over more? Does he take a step back? That all intrigues me. That makes me want to see the match in some, you know, on that level. But the fan in me, I don't know. I'm curious with you, does the fan in you want to see Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar? Forget the build. I mean, is that a match you're looking forward to?
Right now, I don't think so. I just don't think we've seen enough of Roman Reigns, even as a singles guy. And that's another one of the reasons why I think there's a lot more intrigue when it comes to a match with Daniel Bryan. Because we've seen a lot of Daniel Bryan. We've seen a lot of his personality. People rally behind him because he is the smaller guy. He's kind of the quirky guy, but he's a guy that is just so likable. He's got this it factor that you can't necessarily put your finger on, but whatever it is, he's got it. And to have that story of seeing this guy against Lesnar, I think when you have that story out there, it's so intriguing. And then you compare that to Reigns and Lesnar right now, to me, it just doesn't have the same kind of intrigue because you're kind of wondering, well, what's this little guy going to do against this monster? I mean, there's a lot of different factors that go into that, and so much personality is there. We still haven't seen all of the personality come out, I think, in Reigns. You know, and when you don't have that, you see what you already have with Bryan. I think that definitely has a shadow over the match.
And, Craig, I was a little afraid tonight when, you know, they built him up. Now, Daniel Bryan's entrance music cut him off when he was about to address the doubters, I think is how he put it. And he had, the very stern look on his face. I kind of fear that they're going to have him differ from John Cena, and I like that on the surface because I didn't like the night after the Rumble. I thought the mistake they made there was having him basically just recite John Cena's line about, oh, they all pay tickets, they can cheer and boo for who they want. So, I mean, I appreciate the fact that it looks like they may try to do something different, but Craig, I just don't know that lashing out, if that's the direction they go in, at the Daniel Bryan fans or the doubters, as he put it, however you want to phrase it, I don't know that that's the best move he can make, especially heading into WrestleMania.
Well, I think that crowd's just going to crap all over Roman Reigns. It's gonna be brutal. It's going to be funny to watch, but it's going to be brutal. But, you know, for Reigns, this guy has to be able to carry a 20-minute opening segment on Raw. He can't do that. He's going to have to eventually carry some wrestlers to passable matches. Right now, he can't do that. He's a statue in the ring. So I compare it to John Cena, but what I'm seeing right now with John Cena, though, is a guy who's busting his ass these last few months, and it's really been shown in the ring. I haven't seen that at all out of Reigns. So, you know, I don't know what Vince is. I mean, I know the ladies love Roman Reigns because he gets their panties wet, but that's about it. You know, I don't know where else you can go with him, because once he's the champion, you know, you're going to see some garbage out of him after that, unless a miracle happens. I don't know. We'll see.
Cool, man. Well, with the moisture comment, we'll move on to 740. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Michael from Ohio.
Hey, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just got two questions to ask you. My first one, have you heard anything about Ric Flair signing with CBS Sports and having his own podcast?
Yes, that Brian, I know that's in the works. Ric Flair and kind of, I don't know, this Ric Flair hosting a podcast. How do you think this is going to go, Brian?
Not well, because unless they put somebody with Ric, and Ric will make the effort every week. Because to do a podcast, you've got to be there every week, or you've got to put in the work, even if you're doing stuff in advance. I like Ric, but I think for anybody that sees him, that he can be scatterbrained, to say the least. So how is he going to do on these, and could they possibly put him with another host that could, you know, help him, especially when it comes to the beginnings and the end, wrapping it up and just kind of helping out with the podcast? I just wonder, you know, is he going to be dedicated towards it, or is it going to grow tired of it very quickly?
Yeah, and Michael, I so much when you hear Ric Flair talk, I mean, granted, it's in the interview setting. We'll see how he does as an interviewer. Ric likes to talk about Ric. I don't know how he's going to do as an interviewer if that's what they have in mind for him. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll give it a chance. Maybe he'll be great at it. But, yeah, that's definitely in the works. You said you had a second question for us.
Yeah, my second question is, what do you guys think, in your opinion, of having Paul Heyman have creative control over the WrestleMania, building up to the WrestleMania match with Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry.
Cool. Thanks for the call. I mean, I've been saying since the night after the Royal Rumble, when Heyman's fingerprints were all over that final segment, that's what I would do. Easier said than done when Vince McMahon is in control of that company. I'm sure Triple H feels like he could do a pretty effective job. I don't think he'd ever say it publicly, but I think he probably feels like he could do a better job in some cases than Vince McMahon is. And I think with Heyman's involvement, that can only help. I think Heyman's going to be able to have his say, but at the end of the day, Vince McMahon's going to call the shots, and so it's just a matter of how much input Paul Heyman can sneak in there, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the whole thing, and there's ways to work with that where, you know, you can always do those things where you ask for too much, knowing that you're not going to get that, but what you really want is what you're going to end up getting. Paul is going to have a big part in this build-up. I mean, and I think that Paul looks at this as a challenge, and he enjoys it. And it's not to put down Roman Reigns in any way, but, you know, if the fans have been so much and hoping that they get a different match against Lesnar, I think that Paul can look at it as a challenge, saying, well, I'm going to get this guy over. I'm going to make people really get invested in this match. And I'm going to do it for myself because it's a challenge. I'm going to do it because I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm going to do it for my guy Brock. And you know what? I'm going to, you know, work my magic, because I know that I can be the star of this, because Lesnar doesn't want to talk. And Reigns, as we've seen in the past, you know, is still trying to come around and find himself as a speaker. So guess what? That means Paul gets to do all the talking. And guess what? He loves to pipe big events. And it doesn't get any bigger than WrestleMania. So this is his stage.
Yeah, that's a very good point there. We'll be hearing a lot from Paul Heyman in the weeks ahead. 862, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Jason. This is Patrick from Nutley, New Jersey. How you doing?
Doing well. What's going on?
Well, I'm looking at WrestleMania. While I agree with a lot of people on the fact that there is a chance you can turn Reigns heel, I don't think you necessarily have to turn him heel and have him win the championship and or have him win the championship and have Rollins cash in against him the same way. I think you could still have several of those things happen with without the way people are saying. What if Reigns actually lost the match and then turned heel and just snapped after the match? That would be the straw that broke the camel's back. And then they just turned him heel from there, leading into Rollins actually attempting to cash in Money in the Bank but not doing it. Because I think that's something that should be used for a Raw TV segment, because based on last year, even with Miz Dow, I think that drew a pretty high rating for the time he tried cashing in on Raw. So I don't think they're going to waste it at WrestleMania, but I think they're going to probably tease it. So what do you think of the possibility of Reigns, A, not winning the championship at WrestleMania, but B, still turning heel afterwards, but not going with Heyman per se?
It's not high on my list. First off, it's WrestleMania's number one on their priority list. I mean, they're not going to look at it as anything being wasted on WrestleMania. That's just not the mindset. It doesn't mean they won't, just not feel like it's the place to do it and use it on television and get a good rating out of it. It's very possible, but that's not going to be the mindset there. But Brian, I guess one of the reasons I just hear that scenario, I'm sure there's a way to do it, but where do you go from there? Reigns is a heel, but he didn't really turn on anyone. He's just mad, and then you kind of set up a feud between him and who? I mean, but maybe you see it differently. What do you think of that scenario?
Well, if he's going to snap because he lost, to me, he can't snap there, because who's he going to snap on? I mean, that's the whole thing. He can't just be upset after WrestleMania. So it would have to be the next night at Raw, where he's just pissed off and, you know what, he loses his cool and he takes it out on somebody, and then now you've really got him as a heel. It's one thing to be, ticked off because you lost the big match, but it's another to take out your aggression on somebody else, and that's what's really going to turn somebody heel. So I would think that if he was going to do it, he would either have to be, it's because he joined with Heyman at WrestleMania, or if he did it on his own, it would have to be the following night on Raw.
Patrick, well, are you good? Did you have anything more for us tonight?
Yeah, can you still hear me?
Yep, still can.
Can you still hear me, Jason? Yeah,
yep.
No, my point is, him turning heel, similar to when Brett turned heel against Austin, you don't like the result. He snaps on Lesnar, so to speak. And I just wanted to ask you, for the main event itself, is there any chance you see them possibly changing it to something like a no-holds-barred, no-DQ type match to help cover for the lack of wrestling ability on Reigns' part? And I don't mean that like silly. I mean that seriously. Like where they may change the stipulation just to make it more conducive to the style, because I just see that being an outright fight brawl for the better part of the match, and that could probably mask the lack of ability for either man to necessarily carry a match, if you know what I'm saying.
I do. Good question, Brian. I mean, when he said that at all, it made me think of, well, that's probably what Sting and Triple H is going to be. That's probably what Taker and Bray Wyatt is going to be. I'm not saying they won't do it, but, I mean, we could get a lot of, I hate to say it, but shortcut-style matches. It seems at least possible they go in that direction. But it could also be they don't need to announce it that way. It's the title match at WrestleMania. The referee counts a lot slower and doesn't disqualify automatically. I don't think you're going to see him disqualifying Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar for stomping a mud hole on a guy like Dean Ambrose was disqualified for at Fastlane.
Right. I mean, you could easily go that route where one match is no holds barred, one match is a street fight, another is no DQ, where it all means the same thing. But it does make a lot of sense for this, because you can see it's two big guys. Reigns says, hey, you know what? I'm not backing down from you. I don't care how big and bad you think you are, Brock. I'm standing up to you. In fact, when you talk about you're going to put a hurting on me, I'm not afraid. And you know what? I'll even up the ante and say, let's just do it no holds barred. That way you can do whatever you want, and the referee can't, you know, just pull you off me. You know, and you could set it up like that, and that definitely would help that match, I think. And, you know, I know that Reigns is young, and, you know, he's still new to the stage, but I don't want to totally discount his talents.
Right.
You know, because he is good. I mean, is he great? No, he's not there yet, but he's still really good. And, I mean, he's still finding himself a little bit more, not only as a performer because of how young he is, but also because of a singles guy, you know, being – You know, he's only been a singles guy on this stage for, what, less than a year now. So, you know, let's see where he goes. I mean, he had a fantastic match with Daniel Bryan. And, yes, Daniel had a big part in that match that they had at Fastlane. But I don't want to discount anything that Roman did because he held his own. I mean, we saw that even the previous week when they did the pull-apart brawl. So, you know, I think even if they just had a normal match, I think – it would be better than people expect, but I really think you could make it a lot better if they did do it where it was no holds barred.
We, you know, keep in mind, too, he broke out some new, you know, just some suplexes, basically, was what he seemed to add to his moveset at Fastlane. And it was nice, you know, it wasn't, I don't think we got enough from him, but at the same time, he does those same suplexes on Brock Lesnar rather than Daniel Bryan. It's going to look that much more impressive. Let's not sell Brock short either. You know, Brock's only really disappointing matches, I would say. I still argue that Taker versus Brock was disappointing. I know I had people asking me why that wasn't included as a match of the year nominee, and so I think some people, just the surprise of it alone was enough for them to look at it in a different way than I did. The surprise is one thing, but the body of the match was disappointing. And then Big Show, and then one of the Cena matches was a letdown, but it was because of the finish more than anything. By the way, Brock has been really freaking good since he came back, and the triple threat at the Rumble was just top-notch. And so, could it be a big letdown as far as the in-ring is concerned? It could. Oddly enough, as great as Undertaker is, I was more concerned about that match going into it than I am right now about Reigns. Maybe some of it, I don't think expectations are as high as they were for Taker and Lesnar just based on Taker's body of work. But I'm with you in not feeling like this is just going to, they're just going to go out there and shit the bed, so to speak. Maybe they will, but I think it's going to be better than people expect, in part because I think people have very low expectations for it. 515, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Neil.
Neil, what's going on?
Hello? Yeah,
hey, can you hear me? I'm doing great, man. What's up?
Yeah, good. Oh, good. I'm kind of going to ask a question or make a statement that's been answered since I've been on hold, I guess. I like Heyman's promo tonight because I really don't think the WWE knows where they're going to sign him or he's going to go to UFC. So I think they set it up tonight to where Heyman could possibly turn on Lesnar if he's going to the UFC, and then Heyman, you know, could, like, grab the mic and just say, you just don't commit to the WWE, you know. You're jumping back to the UFC. That's just kind of my thought, maybe. I mean, the promo tonight made me think either A, they don't know what he's going to sign, or B, they already realize it, and Roman Reigns is going to be a Paul Heyman guy.
All right, cool. Brian, you know, I didn't hear anything tonight that made me feel like, ooh, they don't know what Brock's future holds. But what I did pick up on was if they wanted to, and, you know, I shouldn't even say pick up on, I just, one of the directions, if they, listening to tonight's promo, if they wanted to kind of spin this, Heyman's talking about how great Roman Reigns is. And yeah, that's part of what his position is going to be. He needs to build up Roman Reigns because Roman Reigns isn't effective on the mic at doing so on his own. But you could easily turn that around when it comes to, hey, you could beat this guy, you could beat that guy, you could beat this guy, but you couldn't beat Brock Lesnar, which is the theme tonight. And then after WrestleMania, it could be the only difference between him and Brock Lesnar is Paul Heyman. And, I mean, that could be the case. That was kind of, as Heyman was rattling off that list and then built to that, you know, expected note at the end there about how he can't beat Lesnar, that did go through my mind, like, well, that's if they want to turn Reigns, if they want to align those two, that's pretty, you can certainly go back to this promo and make that easy correction.
Absolutely, you can. And, I mean, that's what Paul is there to do. That's supposed to be his job, is not only be an advocate for a guy, but a difference maker for him, you know, and help them. So you could easily do that. You know, I think even if WWE knew what they were going to do or what Lesnar was going to do, they're not going to tease that in any which way, because they saw what happened years ago with Lesnar and Goldberg. And the last thing they want to do is give away anything or let anybody believe that they know what is coming, for a couple of reasons. Because, number one, they don't want people thinking they know what is going to happen at WrestleMania. And the other is, if he does leave and say he's going to go sign with UFC, they don't want to make it look like, oh, he chose the UFC over us. They don't want to do that. So they're going to hold their cards very closely and not try to tease one way or the other. And I don't think he can read in anything. You know, even if he, he loses like we all think he's going to at WrestleMania, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to leave.
My guard will be up, you know, if it's just a very decisive finish. My guard will
right.
be up a little bit that, yeah, you know, then I think everyone's probably going to jump to that conclusion. But you're right, it doesn't mean necessarily. I mean, because Vince has had this plan for Roman Reigns for, you know, at least a year, if not longer. And so, you know, at that time, he still may have had every hope that they would get Brock Lesnar back. He may just see a different direction, different path for Brock Lesnar. 559, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Steve from Madera, California.
What's going on tonight, Steve?
Hey, not much working. Quick question. If Wyatt goes over Taker at WrestleMania, does that help or hinder what Brock Lesnar did the previous year? I mean, does it just show that Taker, I mean, he's just so lost it that, you know, now anybody can beat him? Or, I mean, what is that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, does that make any difference with what happened with Lesnar last year?
Ryan, what do you think?
I don't think so, but, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for Undertaker to win. And I don't think it hurts Bray Wyatt if he loses here. You know, if he has a competitive match with The Undertaker. It's kind of more of Undertaker getting his mojo back, you know, at WrestleMania following last year. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be very excited to see Undertaker back, especially because he did lose last year. And, you know, I don't know how much last year, you know, goes into effect in it. When it comes to how this one's going to play out, other than he lost last year, he needs to win now. I mean, it's one thing for him to have the streak broken, which was amazing enough, but to have him lose a second match at WrestleMania, especially when it's not this day and age where he wrestles all the time. And, you know, a loss would be, you know, it's a loss, but it's not the end of the world. We only see Undertaker once a year. So it's a big deal when the guy loses, especially WrestleMania. So I don't think they're going to have him lose again.
I don't either. I don't see it happening. I just think it. Why bring him back at that point? You know, especially if this is his final match, he's already done the honors, and so I say no. And if he's coming back for next year, I say no. I wouldn't want to. Well, they can go back to Bray Wyatt and Taker next year and he can get his revenge. Not worth it. I still, you know, if you want to do the last ride next year, let him go into that match at least on a winning streak, and ideally with, in my opinion, a new opponent. I'm not. I can't say I'm all that fired up about Bray Wyatt and Taker, but I'm kind of waiting to see once Taker gets there and does his part of the hype. That could sway me. It definitely could. 847, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. Sean from Chicago.
Sean, what's up? We're in kind of rapid-fire mode here. We got two other people left on hold in 7 minutes,
right,
so
all right,
give
buddy,
it to
real
me quick.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, diehard Viking fan. So
nice.
Give me my props
good
for
man.
That, buddy.
Very
real
good.
Quick. You know, it wouldn't shock me at all if the smart, you know, the wrestling smarts in that crowd that night actually turn and cheer for Roman. It wouldn't shock me. I was in Toronto that night when they turned on the Rock, and I've been a wrestling fan for 50 years, and that was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen live. Brian, were you there for that?
For which one again?
In Toronto.
Toronto.
With Hogan and the Rock?
No, I was not that one.
Okay, that was one of the greatest crowds I've ever been a part of, and it wouldn't shock me after 4 weeks of fans bashing Roman on the internet and everything else that the fans actually go with him at WrestleMania, depending how things work out. That's just one quick comment, but here's my main comment, and this no one's even talked about this all night. I'm really, really sad and disappointed that they're going to probably bury Rusev after WrestleMania. They've protected this guy for 1 year at house shows, on Raw, and everything else. He's a great heel. He's pulled it off, brought the sidekick out, you know, did the USA thing. I never thought that could ever make a comeback. And it's a real shame because it means nothing to Cena, and it means everything to Rusev, and he's going to lose and just become lost in the shuffle with the rest of the mid-card guys. And that's the main comment I wanted to make. And I hope you boys have some kind of thought process on that. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, thank you. First off, Brian, you, the Bears fan, have to appreciate the Viking fan from Chicago.
Yeah, what a loser. He's not back.
Caller
he's not well back
night.
In the city limits.
Caller of the night is Sean from Chicago. just your thoughts on what he was touching on there. I mean, I don't see the WrestleMania crowd cheering Reigns. I just don't. I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to have some support, but like the fans who are railing on him now, I just don't see them suddenly turning. It's not Hulk Hogan is returning and they want their Hulkamania back. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, because he's not a legend yet. I mean, it was different with Hulk Hogan coming back, you know. And, the interesting thing about Reigns is, I mean, obviously you've got to have the best match that you can if you're going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. But if even the slightest thing goes wrong or people still don't accept him after that match, the following night on Raw is when you really get a response because that is the smartest audience every year at a WWE show. That's what we quickly find out. As for Rusev, I think they've done a really good job in protecting him. The last couple of months were kind of shaky, and I really wish that they were not doing a rematch between Cena and Rusev from the standpoint that I wish they hadn't had the match at Fastlane. But, even with Cena winning, I don't think it's the end-all, be-all to ruining Rusev. I think he's still a real up-and-comer, and, I'm very curious to see what would be the next step for him, and saying, okay, now the guy's got a loss. Okay, so what's next? It's almost kind of frees him up. I don't think he's going to be losing all the time, or at least I hope not. I don't think that this is going to be a guy that they're really just going to say, okay, he's got a loss, and we're just going to cut him off. I still think they've got plans for Rusev.
Exactly. I don't see really what good this does other than giving John Cena a WrestleMania moment, but I don't think you need to worry about Rusev coming out of Mania either. 347, give us your name quick and your question.
Hello. This is Chris from New York. My question is about AJ Lee. With the doctor filing that lawsuit against her husband, do you think that she'll be treated like China in the sense that she'll be sent home, given her downside guarantee until her contract expires? Or do you see them bringing her back? Because at some point, with making it personal, she's more trouble than she's worth at some point.
Good question. And, Brian, I mean, I think they're still going to be open to doing business with her. Thus far, they've been able to separate the two. And I don't know that they want to rock that boat where they start punishing her for their issues that they brought up again with her husband.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting situation because I could see them wanting to work with her, but where comes that time? Because it's one thing for the split between WWE and CM Punk and everything that went into that last year, but to now have a pending or a lawsuit hanging over that, this whole situation between WWE doctor and CM Punk now, it adds more fuel to the fire. And I'm not saying it can't work, but it really makes the situation very awkward.
She continued to work for them, even though they sent her husband's termination papers on her wedding day. This one, it's not so much that I worry about them. I think they'll probably be willing to work with her. I don't know. I haven't heard anything, but I don't know if she's going to be down for the idea of working with them after all this. 262, we have a little over a minute. So you were the last caller of the night. Please state your name and give us your question.
Paul from Wisconsin.
Give us that question, Matt.
One quick comment about AJ Lee. If you were her, how would you feel comfortable working with a doctor who is suing your husband. And my question is about Brock Lesnar and Reigns. Shouldn't, you know, Lesnar and Heyman be healing it up? Because they really haven't healed it up since, you know, Lesnar threatened to beat Hulk Hogan.
All right, well, thank you so much. Brian, I mean, AJ, it's going to be tricky. I wish we would have got these calls earlier in the evening. There's a lot to say there. It had to have been difficult for her to work with it had to be awkward, I should say, for her to work with him, considering everything that her husband had said about him, too. But your thoughts on the second question?
Well, first of all, I would hope that a doctor would do his job, no matter who it is, because that's part of their job, and that's why they became doctors.
Of course.
The second part of the question, what was the second part again?
I was hoping you remembered. Let's bring him back on. It just slipped my mind when we got that 90-second warning. Give me that question again really quick because we're down to 30 seconds.
Yeah, Heyman and Les are healing up for me.
Ah, thank you. Are we getting enough of that? 20 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we got to get. I mean, Heyman's got to go. I think that's what we're going to see next week is Heyman's got to go over the top and saying, you're not going to touch my guy, you know, and we're going to crush you.
Yeah, that's going to be it's time. It's something I'll definitely talk about in .NET Weekly coming up on Friday with Jake Barnett for .NET members. Same time, same place next week. Thank you very much, Brian Fritz of Between the Ropes, for joining me. Check out his work at BetweenTheRopes.com. Always good to talk with Brian. You can also find his work at Sporting News. As he said, do a search for Brian Fritz, and you'll find all of his wrestling reporting at the Sporting News as well. I think it's SportingNews.com. But again, check out his work at BetweenTheRopes.com and follow him on Twitter at, I think it's just as simple as at Between the Ropes, and I know it's as simple as at Brian Fritz. So either one of those, you can follow the fine work of my good buddy Brian Fritz, and follow me on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. Again, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for continuing to support us here with ProWrestling.net Live in its second season. We are here through the Monday after WrestleMania, so we're doing it on a seasonal basis, and then we'll certainly be popping in from time to time with some, just not on a weekly basis, but some bonus live shows here and there, maybe after a bigger edition of Raw, something like that. We'll try to give you guys some notice. We're not going to do it on last second. Hey, it was a big show. Let's dive in a new one. But we'll certainly be doing, if it's the night after a pay-per-view, for instance, maybe we'll jump in with something like that. But you've got us here again next week, same time, same place, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern, at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET. I'll be sure to look for that Jim Ross interview that I conducted. That will be available on the all-access side of things. Like I say, most likely, well, Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure when I'm going to release that just yet. .NET members getting the first listen to that right now. I apologize for some scratchy audio that we had. Jim and I tried to make it work, and it just we had a bad audio connection. Sometimes those things happen, but I don't think it was unlistenable or anything. I've already heard some good feedback from the members on the interview itself. So check that out once it's available on the All Access side. And again, thank you very much, and I will talk to you again next week. Take care.